Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Friday, December the 29th, 2023. And I have the honor, I want to tell everybody, Happy New Year. It's coming up. Merry Christmas, belayed Merry Christmas. But I just want to say, I have the honor to have my friend Nicole Powers on with me. Now give out your website, Nicole. Okay, witnessspeaks.com.
Yeah.
Now, you've done a few reports with me, and I want to continue this each week with you. What's the latest that you want to report on?
Well, I want to go over some of the talking points in the Audie's interrogation tape and how it can reflect to the things that we're dealing with today. So in the interrogation tape,
now, who are you speaking about?
Touched upon many topics, and one of them is the connection between Diddy Ross and Kali. They were pointed out in the interrogation tapes to be gay, and DJ Kali was or is reported to be a Hamas supporter, and also since they're all gay, and you have. And also in politics, too. You have the higher echelon in politics who have the same-sex ideology. And also, you know, entertainment politics. And they cross each other. And I think that is where the power structure lies in both the entertainment field and the political field. Now, also, Adi pointed out that Sean Combs was a member of the Boule. And the Boule are the black counterpart of the Illuminati. And they also go by the title The Talented Ten. And he also talked about his incident on why he was at Trump Tower, not Trump Tower, but the Trump Hotel. And he caused quite a scene there. And he talked about how at the time that Donald Trump was blinded by the threat that Hillary and Barack Obama posed on him and his presidency. He talked about the CIA JFK assassination plot and how so much of the things that Donald Trump was doing echoed the sentiment of Donald Trump. He said that the United States was going to fall, and Donald Trump knew what the cabal was doing, and he wanted to stop it. They want to dismantle the United States through chaos and confusion. So that got me thinking of Antifa and Black Lives Matter, all these counterculture groups that were used for terroristic means. I really think that Adi may have had foreknowledge of all this. He also stated that Donald Trump had help from Russia and Saudi Arabia in securing the powers that he obtained through his presidency. It was collusion, but it was a positive collusion, I think, through their own intel and their knowledge, possibly, of Ukraine. I think he had an insight of the gravity of what he was dealing with through foreign policy because he had strong allies in the Arab community and also in Russia. And the thing that he stressed is that there was a bone of contention of the election that people thought was stolen for Donald, but it was because that Even though Hillary gained the popular vote, Donald secured his position through the Electoral College. But I have a caveat to that is the fact that I heard from another source on another channel that there was a satellite mechanism used to switch votes. I heard that special forces went to Kenny, I think it's where the Bush compound is, on the election night. They threatened Bush and told him to turn off the satellite or else they were going to blow up the CIA building in Langley, Virginia. So I think that intervention prevented Hillary from stealing the election. And I do believe that Bill Clinton was with the Bush family prior. And I really feel that Hillary stole 5 states. So that was a misnomer. That popular vote theory to me did not compute with me, because had she not stolen those 5 states, the 2016 election would have been a non-starting point on who really won.
Well, remember, people have to remember that Hillary Clinton was part of Iran-Contra with Ollie North and so forth. Now, I put Super Spook Gene Chip Tatum, an assassin for the government that was working for the Bushes and all. And I put him on this past month on my radio. You can go up there. It's December the 6th. And I reposted it, folks, because I was having problems. They're messing with my internet site heavily. But Hillary Clinton was at the Rose Law Firm creating trusts and pass him to Norman Brownstein. Now, if you listen to the tape with Gene Chip Tatum, the last of the hour, 1 hour long, he's in another country and he agreed to do the show with me, but he mentions Norman Brownstein at the end. Now, that was my ex-father-in-law's attorney. He hired when they got out of law school, him and Larry Mizell, and Mizell took over for Milman in his control of $100 trillion that he had. But Tatum talked about the mortgage fraud. This was clear back in the 1990s that it went on, or 1980s and 90s, and how he sat at a building down near Colorado Springs and was creating mortgages and transporting them up, illegal mortgages to steal houses from people and transporting them to the Norman Brownstein. Now, Brownstein was one of these two attorneys that Milman hired in 72 out of Boulder Law School in Denver. And Mizell went in to build apartments for him because he could get 100,000 units a year, new, he could build, because they were robbing HUD so bad. But Hillary Clinton was transporting trusts that were foreign trusts by Feng. His name is Feng. I forgot his first name. He's a Chinese intelligence that had Worthington Bank in Little Rock, which was an illegal bank. Money laundering from the narcotics coming from China, China-wide heroin. And Clintons were all part of that. And the MENA, Arkansas, guns and drugs with Ollie North and everything. Well, Tatum was on the radio with me, and we talked about some of this stuff. And people need to listen to that show. It was December the 6th was the date. Because Tatum and I haven't done any shows in years. He had to leave the country after he blew Jeb Bush's election apart. And he even talks about how he did it, because I was part of it. I was putting him on the radio consistently, and we had a little radio network together, and we had to kill it. But it was because he had to leave the country, because he put the Tatum Chronicles underneath the plates of all these donors, Republican donors that came together at a big dinner for Jeb Bush before his election, and it killed his election. Well, they were after to kill Tatum. But people need to listen to that show, because it's vital, vitally important. Because Clintons, Bushes, Milman, who had Silverado, Neil Bush director, Larry Mizell director, and Norman Brownstein director, the two attorneys, MDC Holdings, Richmond American Homes, all the umbrellas they've got, $100 trillion this guy's in control of. And when Milman died, he was one of the 12 disciples of Satan, and Otis, Super Spook Otis Johnson, for he murdered him in 2017. Good friend of mine. He was William Casey's assistant. He was also the one that was working with General Flynn before they murdered him in 2017. And then General Flynn's under fake indictment 2 weeks later. And Otis told me, he says, "Stu, don't worry about Mueller." When they were chasing Trump, trying to make him look bad in the Congress and so forth, and trying to do this fake investigation, he said, "Don't worry about him, because if Mueller doesn't do his job and arrest Hillary Clinton," he says, "I'm going to be arresting Mueller." And he was at the NSA, and he had that capability of doing it. But I just wanted to bring that up, that they were all tied together. Neil Bush, Daddy Bush, I call him George Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and everything. We even talked about in there, because Ross Perot, when I was hiding from the FBI, when they had an artificial warrant for my arrest and locked me up for 10.5 months back in 1992, 92 they issued the warrant, 93 they caught me hiding out from the FBI in Houston. Anyway, I had a hell of a lot of reporters. I'm written about 7 books, and I gave information to 7 other books. My name doesn't even appear, and I need to put it up on my site, the book list. Even Al Martin's The Conspirators, who was the Iran-Contra whistleblower, who I believe to be dead a little bit, he wrote the book The Conspirators. I got it published for him. So I came to know a heck of a lot of people. 2,000 Iran-Contra players, 500 federal agents that were illegally arrested, like John Cole. He was down there in prison with me in Springfield being analyzed. I met Bob Hunt, who captured Noriega. These were the kind of people that were down there that they were putting in there to shut them up. And they said there wasn't anything the matter with me and a whole bit, but Bob ended up dead after he got out of there because he wouldn't arrest Noriega. He had captured him. He was on the walkie-talkie with Bush, and Bush says, "You kill him or I'm going to punish you, Bob." He said, "Mr. President," he says, "fuck, pardon the expression, I'm not going to say it, F you." He says, "I captured him. The news is here with cameras all over, and we got him in handcuffs at the Vatican compound." He says, "I'm not going to kill him." And Bob got locked up, and then later they murdered him down in Wichita in a hotel room after he got out of there. And he was Office of Naval Intelligence. He was a lieutenant commander of a naval SEAL team that captured Noriega. Now, I just wanted to add that because the Bushes, the Clintons, the Millmans, the Mizells, the Brownsteins, who Brownstein, by the way, was 3 years out of law school. He became the head lead CIA counsel for Daddy Bush when he was CIA director. This is how tight these people are. But they stole and robbed and looted this country so heavy. And Ross Perot, when I was hiding from the FBI, and Tatum talked about that, how he was given the told to assassinate Ross Perot, and during the 1992 election, he didn't do it. So they locked him up over it, charged him with treason and all kinds of stuff because he wouldn't assassinate him. Anyway, there's a lot of talk in that tape that people need to listen to December the 6th. It gives you a lot of insight. But Ross Perot did me a favor because he was Office of Naval Intelligence, never served in the Navy after he went through the academy, and he was a designer of software. Our missiles fly on his software. I can't get into it because it's top secret. But I know what it is because my father built those missiles. Okay, he was a vice president of Bendix in Kansas City, and he trained DOE inspectors at Los Alamos Scientific Laboratory. My dad was a VP of that company. But Ross Perot burned Millman and Mizell and Brownstein in 1997. I was invited to the grand jury to testify everything I knew about them. The two federal agents kept me from going through the jury room, the door. Told me if I didn't leave the building, they were going to arrest me. They actually pushed me out the building, saying, "Get out of here." I left. The next day, that case was sealed under national security, but Ross Perot stung my ex-father-in-law, Leonard Millman. Kaufman was her name, the U.S. attorney out of Washington. And Clinton sealed the case under national security the next day, so I never got to testify. But Millman was fined $80 million and never went to jail. Brownstein was fined $10 million, never went to jail. And Mizell was fined $10 million, never went to jail. Now, before Barack Obama leaves office, if anybody remembers, he had a private dinner at the White House where he had donations given to him. $2.5 billion, folks. It was given by Larry Mizell and Norman Brownstein, paid him $2.5 billion at a private dinner party on a Monday. And on Wednesday, John McCain comes out and says, "Oh yeah, we passed the abortion law or something, and some other law that they needed passed." Well, he was holding them up until Barack Obama took his bribe Barack Obama made the announcement that Wednesday that he had $100 million he had raised for his new presidential library. I just thought I'd tell you that, folks. This is the kind of stuff, how deep they're tied. But go ahead.
What Adi was talking about in those interrogation tapes was the very same thing you just mentioned, Steve. He said that Trump didn't kick out the corruption. And he said within the system, they select very few people to win. And he said all this was controlled by satanic rituals and the CIA mind control. And so many of the people that you talked about are agents of the CIA, especially Obama, Hillary, and Bill Clinton. So they are agents, and they practice pedophilia, animal abuse. They tend to bohemian grove. They're into blood sacrifice. He mentioned that Bush and Clinton and Trump, they are cousins. He talked about how the top echelon of our society, these family ties, they go all the way back to the royal families, and they are descendants of the royals. And their children, they intermarry within each other. And this is all a guise for white supremacy. And he said because there is so much commingling within a narrow gene pool, they end up becoming somewhat simple-minded. And he said that Trump, during that time, he wanted to have a peaceful transition, a way out of this Illuminati system, because I truly believe he and others knew full well it is an unsustainable way of living. And it can only lead to pure destruction. And I think we pointed that out on your show several times, that it's very destructive. Now, he also talked about the Illuminati card thing. He talked about how propaganda is promoted to take off the onus of guilt of those who create these catastrophic events. And it's all of an agenda. He talked about Trump being on these cards and the Twin Towers, and how the Illuminati game card gives you an agency look on the events and how they may unfold. He talked about Sean Combs and his Aboulay tie. He talked about how Mark Yaragos was an attorney involved with Sean Combs and Ben Mercedes. And Mark Yaragos, I don't think your audience is aware that he had mentored, I think his name is, he was an up-and-coming attorney that had just signed a contract with HLN News. And I remember this case because right before he signed the contract with HLN News, his wife was murdered, and he was being mentored by Mark Yaragos, and Mark Yaragos is a Satanist, and that was said by Adi. And he also has ties to Ben Mercedes, and he pointed out the fact that Hillary Clinton was a client of Ben Mercedes for 5 years. And I am very interested in all these attorneys who are prominent within the media and the potential that they are Satanists in this Illuminati network. And also these attorneys, one of them, allegedly Nancy Grace, I've heard allegedly that she may be a part of this, and also the child trafficking. Maybe she has her hands in this, and also Laura Allwright allegedly may have her hands in child trafficking. And allegedly, if they are in the same atmosphere as all the other attorneys that I mentioned that are known to be in the Satanist cabal, and one I might want to throw out is, I think think it's Bob Shapiro, who rose to even greater visibility after the O.J. trial, who got the company LegalZoom. And I wonder, in order to have a greater impact in society, are they paying a price in doing so? So he also lists the fact that he had taken on certain illegal activities involving Sean Peter D. Combs, and he wished to release those tapes to the authorities, to Trump. And he also touched on the fact that Geragos was the main one who killed Michael Jackson for the catalog that he owned. And he said in 2017 that catalog made $160 million. And he did that all for the record label. But they have an agenda, still. Mercedes had an agenda on behalf of Hillary Clinton and the rest of the cabal that they wanted to paint Trump as a racist. They don't like Trump because he does not fit their model. He is an alpha male. He loves to make money. He loves women. And they use Stormy against him. And they wanted to, just like with the Billy Bush tapes and things, they set things in motion to destroy his reputation. And he also expressed the fact that Hillary and Obama, they wanted a different path than what Donald wants for this country. He said Obama was a part of 9/11. He was a CIA agent. And he was used to portray Osama bin Laden. He said Osama bin Laden never really existed. This is what he said. He said Obama, and that film was the man that we think was Osama bin Laden. He said that was Obama in a costume talking to a camera. Now, I also remember long time ago, my mother and I used to watch Chris Matthews, and he had a Freudian slip, Steve. He called Obama Osama. So even the media probably knew how CIA used Obama to promote things. And Odie also talked about how Geragos was following him by the way of the FBI. He said he was being spied on. And his fear was that they were going to use his case that he had against P. Diddy, because P. Diddy gave him herpes. So he had a case against P. Diddy. And they thought that he was going to use the information that he had on P. Diddy to extort him. Now, we talked about how Diddy Ross and Charlie were part of the gay mafia. And he also pointed out that Charlie was he was a Hamas supporter. And I think he touched on the COVID agenda, because he did talk about Big Pharma. And also Ciroc. Ciroc is a liquor company that P. Diddy acquired. And he talked about a thing called GT, which is liquid cocaine. He said that they wanted to promote binge drinking within the hip-hop community and with Sean John's brand, Ciroc. He said that also hip-hop agenda was orchestrated by Barack Obama, and it helped kill Tupac Shakur. He also said Tupac is still alive in Cuba, and they used the hip-hop music to traffic drugs on on private planes because he said the DEA, it doesn't search private planes by these artists. And he was there, I guess, or he knows that they put cocaine and this liquid cocaine called Gigi onto private planes. He also talked about the assassination plot and preparation of it against Donald Trump. He said that that Mercedes is told by Hillary tells Mercedes, and this is told by Garagos, the tips over. Madonna said that she wished, she often fantasizes about blowing up the White House. That is being relayed from Hillary to Garagos and then to Mercedes, and then they tell Madonna to say that. So those words of assassination that Madonna uttered are not really her words, but Hillary's words. Okay?
Okay.
He said he settled his lawsuit for $5 million for the Herbie case. And he said the reason why he wanted to make a ruckus at the Trump Hotel in Miami is he wanted to have a wake-up call for America that Donald Trump is trying to save America. He wanted to let it know, I guess, to the Secret Service agents why he did what he did. He said it was a premeditated act or something that he felt he needed to do. He said that Rick Ross threatened him. Rick Ross, I guess he's a music promoter who signs artist deals. He was threatened by him. He said the feds were harassing him, like I said before, with the extortion plot. And he said the settlement was breached that he had with P. Diddy. He said he threw away a lot of his computers and anything that he had electronically that would be used by the FBI, the CIA for surveillance, he threw it away. And that's one of the things, even his TV set, because he felt that they were spying on him. And also, he said that that the cabal wanted to run Donald Trump down, and the country down. He also said he said that our bodies are self-sufficient in healing themselves. He said we only need needle therapy and vitamins. So I wonder, since he was talking about medical things, I wonder, do you have any foreknowledge about the COVID vaccine? So I just wanted to throw that in there. And he did want to iridiate that he stands with the American people. And that he believes that Donald Trump really wants to save this country. And I want to point out that I find it very interesting, and a lot of other people other than myself, that P. Diddy's wife Kim, and there was the artist named Heavy D. It was Kim's, I think, her husband or. Yeah, or someone, she was very close to, I'll be sure. And there was a producer called, I can't remember his name. I think his name was, I can't remember his name, I'm sorry. But he was a producer to Uptown Records. Now, all four of these people were stricken by an illness that some say it could be akin to COVID. And so what I'm saying is, or strong flu-like bugs. I think that P. Diddy has ties or has friends tied to Big Pharma. And I wondered, did they give him bioweapons to use against his enemies that knew more about him and his dealings? And because all of them wanted to write books on P. Diddy. And the P. people that control P. Diddy are the cabal. So if he gets exposed to, they get exposed. And I think that they felt as though if we can give them something that can, you know, make them, you know, unalive, then the onus of a planned murder would not catch the attention of the American people. So you also talked about Stormy Daniels and how she lied about the affair, and he said that Donald Trump wasn't willing to tell the truth about his allegations. He said he was embarrassed by it because of a drug that he was taking for his propecia. It's called propecia, for hair loss, and how the medication causes erectile dysfunction. And so he said that he's embarrassed by that, and he felt as though that's one of the things that the cabal tried to use Stormy to bring him down. But the sign of it is Stormy is also allegedly a member of the Keith Raniere cult Nexium. So she was probably placed around him for entrapment reasons. And he also talked about how his attorney was giving referrals. His attorney, Christopher, was giving referrals after the Diddy deal. And I think that's about it, Stu. That's about it, the topic points of that interrogation tape, and how we came to understand that a lot of the things that he was talking about, we can relate to now, you know, about the things that are going on. And he did confirm the case and Cassie's case, and this is how I feel it was all connected, because I talked to you about this, that that his interrogation tape didn't get traction because a lot of people weren't aware about who he was and how important it was to unravel the cabal and their dealings within the entertainment industry, because they too are involved in child trafficking. And that's the end of it. So I hope that was informative for your audience.
Excuse me. I've been trying to wake up people for years, you know that. And you mentioned the satanic sacrifices in Florida. The winter solstice was the 21st of December. And they do the humans, the 12 disciples of Satan, Mizell and Daddy Bush, used to be Daddy Bush before his reported death. And a bunch of them, Henry Kissinger before his death recently. They used to attend these human sacrifices in Denver on the summer and winter solstice, the shortest day and the longest day. They were there again. Now, I post incredible evidence and stuff that up there on my site. I even have a friend that was doing a documentary on me, if he ever gets it done. But he put a drone in the middle of the air, folks, over Denver at night and shot the old Navari where it's at downtown, where they do these human sacrifices. But this is real. They murdered babies. And Super Spook Otis Johnson told me before his death that they were doing it, the old Navari, because he was William Casey's direct assistant before they murdered Casey, because Casey was going to blow the whistle before Congress that morning on Bush's and Clinton's and everybody, that they were out of control. And they had two goons hold him down while Daddy Bush took a needle and stuffed it in his temple, caused him a cerebral hemorrhage, and he laid at Bethesda Naval Hospital for 10 or 14 days before he died. And Otis saw him over there, and he told Otis and his other direct assistant what had happened. And Casey was running his mouth to all the nurses. They had the floor closed off with Secret Service blowing the floor above him. And all the nurses and doctors that worked at that hospital, Bethesda, all ended up dead of suicide, car crash, rollover, and or shot in the head within 6 months after Casey's death. Now, Casey knew a hell of a lot. Otis did. But Otis told me about taking an order, flew out from Washington to Denver and had to get this order signed for Casey when Daddy Bush was either vice president or president. I think it was when he was president. He flew out there, went to the old Nabari, the Ship's Tavern at the Brown Palace Hotel downtown Denver, and he was told, go down the hallway. There's two restrooms, one for females and one for males. And there's a third door. Go through that door, go through the tunnel. It takes you to the old Nabari. It's an old casino whorehouse that my ex-father-in-law, Leonard Millman, owned. It's called a museum of fine arts. Stolen art, probably. Like he stole everything else. But he went over there and knocked on the door, and some big guy like Otis was, he was about 6'5", 300 pounds. Some big guy answers the door. What do you want? He said, I got to talk to the vice president or president, Bush. He says, wait here. Bush comes to the door, got his hood on, the whole draped hood, and he's got this hood over his head, black hood and everything. And he comes to the door, and Otis, he says, step in, Otis. What do you want? He says, I got to have this order signed immediately. It was deal with national security. So he starts reading the order, and he says, Mr. President and Vice President, he says, would you pull your hood back? I've got to see your face to know it's you. I hear your voice, but I got it. So he pulls his hood back. And Otis is looking around. He says, Otis, he signs the order. He says, if you ever repeat to anybody what you have seen, he says, I will come personally kill you. Do you understand? He said, yes, sir. And he left with the order signed. He was there and witnessed them. Gathered around a table. They had a baby on. They had just murdered it. And they were over there drinking the blood out of a chalice, I think they call it. It's like a big wine glass or something. And they were over there drinking the blood of this infant. And this was on either the winter or summer solstice, where they do it every year. And it's to deal with ley lines, they call them. It's like energy grids that go through Denver, Colorado, and they do it on the winter and summer solstice. So I want everybody to know that. I did a show with Professor Joe about this because he's quite aware. He's seen this in the spirit, seen these things happening. So it is real. And what we're up against now, Nicole.
Yes.
We're at a time frame, in my opinion, and I've said it on several of my shows. I'm going to say it here. Otis told me, he was NSA, and he told me in 2017. He said before they murdered him, he said that they were able to see in CERN, the super collider in Switzerland. The NSA's got its thing over there. And they're able to see into the future and into the past. He said sometime between 2021 and he said 2025, there's going to be two stars that are going to hit planet Earth. I said, you're talking about Revelation 13, Wormwood and Sister. He says, probably. But he says they were able to see this, that these two stars hit planet Earth. And he says sometime before 2025 is out, that a big fireball six times the size of planet Earth is going to come flying around the sun. They won't be able to stop it, and it's going to hit planet Earth. I said, then you're talking about the end of Christ's return. He goes, you got that right. And he believed in Christ. I asked him one time, I said, why did you ever go into intelligence? He said, I thought I was doing something better for mankind. And he said, then I found out I was working for these evil bastards, is what he called them, evil bastards. He says, I found out I was doing all this stuff for him. And he says, I got caught up in it and couldn't get out of it. But these are the kind of things, people that I've come to know and seen, know personally, and what they witness. But sometime, now that we're at 2024 coming up on Monday, January 1, we got about 1 year left, folks, before the big fireball comes in. Now, my friend, Professor Joel, I talked to a couple days ago, and he found out there's a star coming at us, and it's direct impact on Earth. Supposedly, September this year, September the 24th, is the expected time the star is going to smack us. Wormwood. I mean, we're talking two-thirds of mankind, according to the Bible. When these two stars hit us, they drink the water, and it's bitter, and it kills them. whether any of that's true or not, I don't know. Dispensationalism and how they've changed the Bible, and there's so many different verses, the King James Version, International Version, Catholic Version, the Mormon Version. You know, there's so many different versions. If you take and read a particular verse in that Bible, in any of those Bibles, they don't match up. And it's dispensationalism, Scofield Bible. We've been run down a wrong path. But what we need to put out in the way of a message, Nicole, and I know you're in agreement, prayer works, yes. Doesn't it? Prayer works.
Prayer works, and it also changes things, and it also it keeps us grounded and connected to God. And I think it's more important than ever that we pray still, that we gain a measure of grace through our own actions, through forgiveness of others, forgiveness for ourselves when we falter. And if we do that, that helps, because that releases a lot of positivity that this world needs. And we need to be interactive with our Heavenly Father. He has to hear from us. He has to interact within our lives. And because people are struggling. You have people who are losing their homes, they're losing jobs, and they're losing faith. And without faith, we cannot endure. So it's very important that we stay close and connected to each other and to our Heavenly Father, so we can weather out the storms that we're going to face within the next 10 to 20 years.
If we have 10 or 20 years. I don't know. Prayer can change timelines and everything else, but Otis was always pretty darn accurate in the information that he provided me. And I mean, he gave me a lot of national security stuff that's in my brain that I've never talked about, because he opened up to me. He knew I would talk at certain times and other times I wouldn't. I mean, but I'm just looking at this. I'm not fearful, but something tells me this 2025, we got about a year left, and we'll see what happens in September if the star smacks planet Earth this coming September. But the only thing people need to do, I'm not preaching, I hope I'm not preaching and to the choir here or anything, but I know that Jesus Christ is real. He's proven it to me. I'm still alive after 40 years of exposing these people. 40 years now, and I'm still alive, and they've had 40 hits on me that I'm aware of. I've been anthraxed, I've been in 3 car crashes, 1 rollover, broke my neck, got me disabled now, where I'm drawing Social Security disability, don't have any money as a result of it, living in a hellhole, should I say, over here in Topeka. But, you know, I praise God and thank God for what I have, even though I do moan and groan and complain a lot. I do about different circumstances and things in my life. But if we don't have Jesus Christ in our lives, you're going to be in trouble. Would you end this? You got anything else to add to this?
I want people to stay close to their family, stay close at home. There's also talk about this so-called invasion of migrants and also covert armies that might be here. And also we have the UN to deal with. Patriots may need to get ready to protect their loved ones, their property. We don't know what kind of pushback that the cabal may have. So just be prayed up and armed up, because you may need to defend yourself, your family, and your property.
It's wise.
I don't know when it's going to occur, but there's a lot of talk about it. So we need to band together under God and country. And just be vigilant about it. That's all I have to say.
Now, I saw a Marine Corps colonel, retired, Marine Corps intelligence, and I was in the Marine Corps. But he was Marine Corps Intelligence, was on the TV this past week on one of the programs. Steve Bannon's or one of them. I saw him on there because I have it on here while I'm working on my computer or on my internet, etc. But I saw and listened to him. And they had about a 45-minute long program or something. And he was talking. He was over in Southeast Asia someplace, over near Japan or someplace, I guess it was. Still. But he talked about the China invasion. He said, we are going to be at war with China during 2004. This coming, or 2024. He said, he was former intelligence of the Marine Corps, retired. And he said, we are going to be at war with China. Now, I posted up, because videos, different ones have sent me, showing that we've had nearly 5 million Chinese come across the border and into America without visas or anything. They're here now. They're all buffed up. They look like they're in the military and short haircuts and the whole bit. But there's 5 million Chinese on the ground. And there's a Chinese police station in New York. There's a Chinese police station in Washington, D.C. Now, I believe there's a high probability we could have a war happen this year. So all I'm going to say to people is get prayed up. Hey, if you don't have any ammo, get about 500 or 600 rounds of ammo. It's not that expensive. Go to Walmart. Go to different places. Order whatever. And get the fresh ammo, because some of this old ammo was made to where after 2 to 3 years, it won't fire. They intentionally did that, so you wouldn't have any ammo. Get your guns, get your ammo, and be prepared. Stock up on food, canned goods, and things like that that you can open up and eat out of. If there's no electricity or no gas, because when they invade us, they're going to do an EP, electronic pulse, I think they call it, like we've done to other countries, and it shuts down the power grid. It will shut down computers and cars. It will shut down what used to be your points in your distributor that make the spark now in the newer cars. It's a little electronic thing. It's not a points. But someone told me years ago, and she was a good Christian, her and her husband, and they were friends and still are, but she told me she had a vision, a dream, and it stuck in her head. And she was walking from Washington State back to Kansas City down the freeway, and all these cars were along the sides of the road. They wouldn't run. It's because those electronic pulse burns out the computers in the cars and those little that cause the spark, of what they call it, the electronic part of it. And all these cars were parked. But she said, old jalopies were coming down the road. Older cars, like 1970s and early 80s, that didn't have the computers. She said they were driving and people were sitting on the trunk lid. They were sitting in the trunk. They were sitting on top of the cars. And these people were charging like $150, $200 for these different people to take a ride. And they would drop them off. And she said they kept walking. There was about 60 of them. And she said one of these old cars, she says, was parked along the side of the road, and they were taking gas out of the cars to get across the country. And this is what happened. Now, that's what happens in a war. So that means electronics are going to go down. Computers are going to burn up. TVs are going to burn up. Computers and cars are going to burn up. The only thing you can encase, if you want to go to a junkyard and get yourself a computer, probably cost you $100, $150. You can encase them in lead shields. Lead is the only thing that's going to protect it. Some people think metal boxes are going to protect it. I don't think so. I know that lead shields do, because I knew people in that area. My father being one of them, as well as Otis. Lead shields will protect it. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that up, because I had to buy a computer for my car. So, excuse me. It's old Chevrolet I'm driving. So while I was there, I went over to the auto parts and spent $30. This was 3 years ago. I had to buy a computer for my car. It turned out to be it wasn't a computer. It was a sensor that was making it look like the computer was having problems, but the computer wasn't. figured all that out. So I have a computer in the trunk of my car, encased in lead, folks. You could go to the plumbing supply places and find the old lead. You can wrap it up with that. And that way, if they do a meltdown on this country, you'll be able to put your computer in, your new computer, and you'll be able to put your points in there, not points, but that module, and you'll be able to drive your car. So I just want to give people a heads up to that. You know, you're looking at $130 probably to, you know, have a backup for your car, and you're probably looking at $200 or $300 to get ammo if you got your guns. If you don't have a gun, find a gun, because it's going to come down to that. Anyway, Nicole.
Yes?
Would you say a prayer? Yes. Would you say a prayer
yes.
with us?
Go yes, ahead. Yes, I will. Yes, okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today to thank you for the many blessings you bestowed upon this nation, our freedom, our ability to vote, and to exercise our right to choose our leaders in our hometown, in our state, and also the presidency. We know that this system has been compromised. We know that elections have been stolen. We know votes have been discarded. We pray for restoration to this nation, that all be made perfectly well, to your guidance and your inspiration, to men who have hearts that love this nation, men and women who love this nation. Protect those today, in this hour, in every hour, who are fighting for a good cause. And I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for all people who are black, white, brown, yellow, who see the greatness in this nation, who know that if we restore this nation, to practice the principles in your will of the family, of church, and of the guidance that you provide each and every soul that knows your son has an intimate relationship with him. If we set a good foundation of faith, we can rebuild this nation from the ground up. We can restore order, and it will lead us to protect us from all our enemies. So thank you, Heavenly Father. I pray that it's not too late to do what is right and to restore this nation under divine leadership that is inspired by you. And I want to thank that I am a part of this with a good friend named Stu Webb, who's proven himself over and over again to also fight for your will for the common man of America. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nicole. Give out your side again. Give out your side again.
And it's witnessspeaks.com. And I want to thank you, Stu, for allowing me to be on your platform and sharing this message.
I thank you for being on with me. Have a good one, Nicole. Hold on a moment. Hold on.